Well, it's a fine Wednesday. Our pal Peter Labardius is off to the airport. They are going to Dallas to begin a three-game road trip. Last night at the Dome, a 4-3 overtime loss to the LA Kings. And Labardius joins us right now like he does every day to kick off this show. And Lou, the big theme last night, you look at that shot clock, it was 20-3 in favor of the LA Kings. They did not start that game on time. Not enough guys going. And it looks like there could be some changes happening as a result.
Well, no one should be surprised when you play three games. In two games in particular, the first period was not what this team wanted. This is not what this team should deem as acceptable coming out of the gate. And as Bill Peters talked about after a brief morning practice today, that was brief but pointed, was even in the preseason, there were a lot of games where they didn't start on time. So this has been a bit of a trend. Well, do you know what the only game I really thought they started on time was? September the 16th, their first preseason game at home with a lot of veterans against the Vancouver Canucks. Remember, they outshot them 17-2.
Yep.
They didn't pile up big numbers, but that particular night, and granted, preseason against the Kings superior lineup, but they were ready. That group looked like in that game that they were sick of the summer and let's get ready and let's play. That has not been the case since the start of the regular season. And they just truly need to start on time. And I heard Derek say it. We talked about it. You know, you were sitting there last night in the post-game show. They have not been, as a group, collectively engaged enough emotionally. And when this team is engaged emotionally and ready, they're a handful. That's a big reason they had 107 points. Now, they are contemplating some changes, and we knew that would be the case. You know, again, I like that baseball analogy where a manager wants to take his lineup card and pencil it in the same way as many days as he can. Well, right now they're mixing and matching because they haven't found combinations. So, and even assistant coach Ryan Huska alluded to the fact last night, and they're not ready to sign off. But here's the news of the day, in a sense. Potentially. And that is, there might be a shift with the defensive pairings that would move Anderson back to play with Giordano. You never seem to touch the middle pairing of Hanifin and Hamonic. But Michael Stone, and it'll happen, Will, before the road trip is over, whether it's tomorrow in Dallas or not. Bill Peters not ready to go there yet. But today, in possible preparation, Brody and Stone. And maybe to a certain extent, we had a little look into the crystal ball from Ryan Huska last night in assessing one pair in particular.
Yeah, he talked about Oliver Shillington, Rasmus Anderson. You and I, Lou, have talked many times in the past about Huska, the fact that he's seen these guys for a long, long time, going all the way back to their time as, you know, rookies and fresh-faced rookies, I should say, as pros in Stockton. Here's Huska's thoughts last night on that pairing.
Didn't like the start of the game for either of them tonight. I didn't think they were very good in the first period here tonight, but both of them kind of got their game going as this one went along, where they started to move their feet as well. Raz was jumping into the play, trying to get some chances coming up the weak side. Oliver started to skate a little bit, and when they do that, they're good players. We're comfortable, confident with them defending. We don't look at them as a 5-6 per se. Like, we think they can be on the ice against the best players, so it gives us a lot of good options on our back end when they play with confidence.
Now, Lou, we talked going into Tuesday's game about Riddick staying in net and, you know, the team game not being there. Huska also talked about that later in that hit with you guys in the post-game show, that they've got a lot of work to do, and that first period was certainly evidence of that last night. But why is maybe a change in a D pairing different as opposed to consistency or continuity with your goaltender when it comes to trying to figure out that team game? Or is it related at all?
I don't know if it's related at all. What you're trying to do, Will, is you're looking for combinations that help you be better.
Right.
So, yes, potentially they're going to make one change. Now, they've made other changes. They made changes in the course of the game last night when they moved Andrew Mangiapane into a spot with Backlund and Tkachuk, and that paid dividends, and I don't expect that to change. The whole storyline right now for the Flames is they're not happy with a lot of how the first three games have gone, and they are not building a foundation, and they're not finding pairs, groupings that are working with any kind of consistency. Mm-hmm. So whether, well, it's in your defensive pairings or in your forward groups, you want to stick with what's working best, but you need your whole team to get better collectively. And that's why coaches spend hours and hours. They'll continue today on the plane. They'll continue today at the hotel. Each and every day, they kick around, how do we set up our lineup to give us the best chance? But the truth of the matter is, and I don't think any of the Flames brass or the players would disagree, they just, to this point, they have not had enough people going. Now, what's contributed to that at times is when they're at their best, what happens? They're rolling over four lines. They're dictating to other teams the way games are to be played.
Yeah, the coach just talked about it before, Lou. He hates going down to three lines. Hates it.
Well, that's exactly the case. That's not the formula. That's not the script that Bill and the coaching staff want. They want their top two groups to be in that 20 to 18 range when everything is right and everybody's going. Then they'd love the Ryan group to be in that 14-minute window, the Jankowski group to be in the 10 to 12 minute window, and then, you know, see who's going, and who's ever going, they're going to get more time. You don't want to constantly have to go and mix things up. That's generally an indicator that things aren't that good. Now, in the first two games, it was a bit different because you were shorthanded six times apiece. So it became very difficult for the team to get into a rhythm in those games and distribute and build a foundation. Last night, that was on them because they weren't ready. They were blitzed by the Los Angeles Kings, and thus they required change. You don't want to have to go to the blender.
Yeah.
They're great for smoothies in the morning, but you don't want to go there as a coach on a regular basis. But because they're not going collectively, as a coaching staff, you have no choice. And that's why they're tinkering with at least that change for the game against Dallas.
That change Lou is talking about is today at practice. Rasmus Anderson on a pairing with Mark Giordano. Michael Stone playing with TJ Brody on the team's third pairing. And Oliver Shillington rotating in as the seventh defenseman. Nothing in stone for tomorrow in Dallas. No pun intended. But certainly looking at that potential change as they begin a three-game road trip against the Stars. He is Peter Labardius on his way to the airport to Dallas, Texas, as they'll begin that road trip tomorrow, Lou. And we talked so much in that first half there, this hit about engagement and being ready to start the game on time. Well, we shouldn't be surprised that number 19 for the Calgary Flames did that last night with all the pregame antics, and we talk about it all the time. Is it going to live up to the hype? Well, we joked last night in that postgame show, sitting there in the Better Business Bureau Hot Stove Lounge, you can't write it any better than what happened during the game, the way it ended up with Tkachuk tying it with 64 seconds to go, Doughty winning it in overtime. We'll play some of that fun postgame audio in just a second, you know, as we kind of tease what's going to happen in round two. But just overall, what did you make last night of number 8 against number 19?
Well, it was great hockey theater, right? It was our focus in many ways going in. It was all the rage. It was all the buzz. It's been going on for 3 years. And like Hollywood, except for the Flames, it didn't have a great ending. The two best guys, they talked. And what did they do? They delivered. They were their respective team's best players. I think it motivates both of them. I think especially in the case of Doughty and the situation that he's in with his team and in knowing him for a long time, these are emotional people, and they require being engaged that way to be at their best. They were both hyped. They can downplay it. They can talk about it, and I think it does need to be downplayed to a certain extent. What can't be missed is those guys, when they are emotionally engaged and can stay on the right side of it, they're terrific players. You can boo Drew Doughty all you want. He is a fantastic player. Plain and simple, resume, wins, big wins, says it all. Those guys are like two peas in a pod, and they went at one another, and really, in some ways, Will, if you flush this part of it out, I think Doughty and how his group rallied around him probably had more of an impact than Matthew did in terms of having his involvement drag his group into the battle in some respects. But at the end of the day, both guys couldn't have done a better job leading the way and backing up all the hype and all the talk.
We talked yesterday about, you know, why does this rivalry exist? What's going on here? We talked, all three of us gave our thoughts as to why this thing has, you know, kind of boiled to the surface and has been what it has been for the last 3.5-4 seasons. Here was the post-game fun from Drew Doughty and Matthew Tkachuk.
I honestly, I want to put that to rest. Like, that's over. As you can see, we both thrive under, emotional games. I think he had 3 points. I think I had 3 points. So, I just want to put that to rest. He's going to run me. That's his job. He's going to hit me many times a game. And I'm just going to, you know, not talk back and just let it kind of be.
Drew said he wanted to put this feud between you guys to rest. Well, what are your thoughts on that? And he did say you had 3 points tonight. So, obviously, both of you guys kind of feed on the intensity between you two.
I'm excited for round two in a couple weeks in LA.
One guy says he wants to bury the hatchet. The other guy says he's excited for round two. And you and I both know, despite what he says, Lou, Doughty's not going to put this thing to rest. And I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon. And to be honest with you, we talked about it. Kind of that's been the theme of this entire hit so far. I mean, Matthew Tkachuk not single-handedly dragged his guys into that last night. But they need more of that to begin hockey games going forward.
Yeah, they sure do. They absolutely do. When you're emotionally invested and all in, a lot of nights it starts that way. And when this team starts well and feeds that machine, puts the proper fuel in, they're not a lot of fun to deal with. But last night was completely the opposite. Matthew Tkachuk, from the drop of the puck, was truly engaged for all kinds of different reasons. And for the longest time, the better part of 30 minutes, he didn't have enough friends jumping on his back, going along for the ride. That's what has to change, in part, for the Flames to get back to being the real good team that they are and can be when they're at their best.
A quick aside, is that part of the reason in your eyes? Obviously, we don't want to get too into it, but part of the reason that Milan Lucic was acquired by this club?
I think it was. I think there's lots of different reasons. I mean, we've talked ad nauseum in some ways about him as a deterrent.
Sure.
There he was again in a fight. Curtis McDermott took a almost borderline ridiculous run at him in the middle of the game. And it wasn't that long after that battle royal between those two heavyweights occurred that the Flames did get a spark. So whether you're on board with that or not, have we not seen in two of the first three games Lucic be involved physically, and very shortly thereafter, the Flames had some edge? It's about playing your role and giving your team what it needs. And Milan's been around for a long time. He's been doing this for a long time. And he, like Mr. Tkachuk, is at his best when he's emotionally invested too. So anytime you build a team and you want to make a team better, well, in any way, any kind of team, at work, in sports, you're always looking for things that you don't have to support what you do have.
He is Peter Labardius on the way to Dallas, Texas. The Flames will begin a three-game road trip tomorrow against the Dallas Stars, and then Saturday, Sunday, a back-to-back in Vegas and San Jose, respectively, as they head on the road for three massive games. They are 1-1-1 through three games this season. Another guy that Ryan Huska has seen play a lot of pro hockey, Lou, is Andrew Mangiapane, and he got rewarded last night because he was one of the few in Huska's eyes and the coaching staff's eyes when they went into the locker room after 20 minutes. They identified a couple of guys who were going, and as a result, number 88 got vaulted up the lineup to play with Matthew Tkachuk and Michael Backlund. That's two out of three games so far this season. He's got the bump, and the team has shown results as a, you know, because of that change. Ryan Huska asked last night about Andrew Mangiapane. Here's what he had to say.
Competitive. I think when you look at Andrew, and I had the good fortune to watch him close up in Stockton for a while. He's very competitive. He's hard on the puck. He's not afraid to take hits, and he gets into dirty, hard areas. And for a smaller guy, you don't always see that. So when you factor in his ability to be able to play with offensive guys, he can make plays. He's got good pace to his game, and he thinks it the right way. With the work he's shown and the energy he's had, you can tell he wants a little bit more, and it's good to see, and hopefully he can keep doing that.
Lou, hard on pucks, no fear. Those are some of the things we've talked about when we've discussed his game before. But what are you seeing right now as some of his biggest strengths, and why did he or why has he been a nice fit with those two guys in the early parts of this season?
Because he's playing well, and because he's playing to his identity. And his identity has always been what? Smaller guy with pace and skill who's smart and highly competitive. Why? Even if you go back to his time in the Ontario League, did he have two 100-point seasons? That's why. And he refuses to take no for an answer, even when size and people have looked for reasons as to why he can't rather than why he can. And to me, that makes the story even more successful and is truly an absolute kudos to him for not saying no and not accepting the fact that he was too small or he didn't have this or he didn't have that. And then, you know, despite having 200-point seasons in a great league, sixth-round pick, still needed, you know, just to get drafted, somebody needed to show some, yeah, this guy can do it. And then it's up to you. He's done the work. He's gotten better and better. He's used all his experiences, including two seasons ago, the 10 games that he's played. He's produced everywhere. And, well, you know all too well how I feel about constants with people. When they keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it, what's the constant? They're good at doing it.
Right.
And, you know, in the first two games, he'd averaged 8.55. He played 15.10 last night and deserved every second. And at a time when you're looking as a team to build a foundation and find some chemistry and rhythm and some groups of people that work together and work together more consistently, guess who's one of the best guys at holding up his end of the bargain? Andrew Mangiapane. It's been noticed, and he very likely starts in a role Thursday against Dallas, against a real good Stars team, with an opportunity that he would like to not only relish, but keep.
I think you probably touched on it a bit there. You might not have a lot to add, Lou, but what would be next for Mangiapane in his progression? Would it be on that consistency side?
Yeah, it's always on the consistency side. It's always about who are you and what are you and constantly working. Really, what's your job in a lot of ways? Well, ice time in so many aspects is reflective in the course of a game during the course of the season as to your importance to your team. It's not everything, but when a coach feels like he can play you in every situation, is it going to mean that you play less or play more?
Play more.
You're going to play more. And I've yet to meet a player at any level I've yet to even be an athlete when I was a little guy who was okay. I never once went to a coach and said, you know what, I don't want to play as much tonight. I know you'd like to play me 20, but I'm not interested. But you know what? I've heard a lot of beefs and people being upset and can't understand why they're not playing more. They want to play. They want to play more. They want more opportunities to make a difference. And right now, Andrew Mangiapane would be in the top five or six guys through three games who have shown the coaches that he deserves more. And until he shows differently, and that's up to him too, that's the next step. He's going to get more.
Lou, it was kind of the theme early on as we wrap things up and put a pretty little bow on today's hit. As the Flames get set to go out on this three-game road trip, what is missing right now for this group? Is there anything that just kind of sticks out to you when you look at this Flames team? Is there a missing element to their game right now?
Well, they haven't started on time. So that's a huge element. And bottom line, you need more from more players on a consistent basis. They just haven't been as good as they need to be collectively. And it's something that they want to get ironed out sooner rather than later. Because even if you look around, and it's incredibly early, but you already have two teams off the 3-0 beginnings in your division that I don't think anybody really expected to be 3-0 off the get-go. But they are in Edmonton and Anaheim.
Yeah, they sure are. And it's been a fun first week of the NHL's regular season. Safe travels to Dallas, my friend. Will you be watching the Strasburg Walker Buehler battle in your hotel room, or are you going to avoid it?
I'm going to try my best to enjoy it, but I won't enjoy it. I'll get through it and hope that the guys that have LA on their caps get it done.
Cheering for the good guys. Safe travels, Lou. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks, on a game day from Dallas.
Have a great one.